77 WABC.
The following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we are live. If you want to give me a call, the number is 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222. So glad that all of you could join us. Happy September, everyone, and in September, we have a number of significant events. It is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and we are going to have several screening events. It is also a month of celebration if you are Jewish, and I want to wish all of my Jewish listeners out there a wonderful Happy New Year, L'Shana Tova. Tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, and I hope that you all have a sweet and prosperous and healthy New Year. This morning, I've asked Sandy Kane to be my guest. He's going to talk to us this morning about his experience with prostate cancer, and also he has been the organizer, the developer, the innovator of an outstanding prostate cancer screening event that we at NYU Winthrop have been participating in for the past, I guess it's about 5 years now. It's a wonderful event. It'll be on next Sunday. And I'm going to talk to Sandy about that. Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Dr. Katz, I'm fine. How are you today?
Terrific. Thank you for getting up on a Sunday. And, we have 1 week from the event. We've been talking about it for a number of months and planning. And I know that you're the mastermind behind this outstanding event, a champion. And I want to thank you for getting the message out and for screening so many men. I mean, over the last 5 years, Sandy, we must have screened several thousand men and detected so many men with early stage prostate cancer. So thank you for all that you've done. And I want to thank you for your support for the research, because you do give a donation each year, which goes to supporting the prostate cancer research that we do at NYU Winthrop.
Well, if it wasn't for the hospital, I don't think a lot of this would have been possible. You and your whole staff, the hospital has been just fantastic in coming out every year. You bring the phlebotomists out, you bring yourself and you know, the other doctors out to answer questions, and we've built a reputation. Just to clarify the numbers, Dr. Katz, 3,400 PSA tests done so far that we've counted. Most of those with the hospital, 179 potential cases of prostate cancer identified, and over $100,000 given to Winthrop before we started with you. We had given additional monies, and it's a good thing.
It's fantastic, Sandy. I didn't realize. So the numbers we've screened now, almost 4,000. So we'll probably break the 4,000 number this year, or come close to it.
From your mouth to God's ears, I hope so.
Yeah. And for the listeners that don't know you, and we're speaking with Sandy Kane, the organizer of Long Island Cruisin', which will be next Sunday. We'll get into the details. But just to give us a brief, you know, snapshot, I guess, of why you've been doing this and a little bit about your own history.
Fine. Well, I started getting tested when I was 49 years old. It was part of my normal health routine. I was going to the doctor once a year. They were taking blood. At 57, I had some issues, and they increased the frequency to every four times a year, and a PSA test was included as part of that. At age 61, I came back from the doctor, and he looked at me and said, "Your PSA is high." I said, "Well, what's that? What am I supposed to do?" He said, "I think you should see a urologist." I found a urologist he referred me to. They took another blood test. They came back, and they said that my number was high, that there had been a significant increase in percentage-wise in the PSA level, and we should do a biopsy. We did a biopsy, and they came back and hit me right in the face and said, you have prostate cancer. Now, you have to remember, this was 15 years ago. With the technology today, they're much better. You guys are much better able to analyze and to determine if it's a slow-growing cancer, or if it's an aggressive cancer. At the time, 15 years ago, they said, you have cancer. What do? We operate. Long story made short, my wife and I did some research. I ended up having surgery done in January of 2004. I had a radical done. I came out of it in one piece, and I wanted to give back. I was very, very grateful that I was still here. And once again, I found an organization that had been doing testing, the PSA testing on the West Coast. I hooked up with them, and the result is our car show, Long Island Cruising for a Cure. The rationale behind the car show is very simple. Most men will not get tested. They're afraid of the possibility of impotence or incontinence should they be diagnosed with prostate cancer and have it taken care of. Well, how do we get guys to get tested? Let's create a guide type thing. And once we get them there, we'll coerce them if we have to. We'll get their significant other to push them in, or somehow or other we'll get them into a facility and get them tested. We started that in 2006. It started to grow. It kept growing. We met with Winthrop, the old Winthrop before NYU, right after he would come aboard in 2014. And the rest is history. We built a great relationship. We have a lot of fun, and we've done a lot of tests, and it's kind of funny. Prostrate gets mispronounced all the time, but I tell these people, I don't care what you call it, as long as you go get tested.
Yeah. And I mean, you bring up an amazing story, Sandy, and there's so many like you, and I want to also comment that there's so many lives that you've saved by doing this that I can't tell you. Each year, when we do this and we get the results back and we are able to inform you through a letter, and it's all free. All of the testing is completely free, and you do have to fill out a form so that we can, you know, send you back the letter. And I can't tell you how many each year I get letters back saying, you know, thank you, and thank you to Sandy Kane and to Long Island Cruising, because I had the blood test at the car show, and you know, Dr. Katz, my PSA, I didn't even know. My PSA was elevated. It was very high. I had a biopsy, and I was detected to have cancer, and I'm cured now. And, you know, you don't realize, Sandy, the effect of the lives that you've had for so many men. And I want to, again, applaud you for doing this. And you bring up some interesting points about how things have changed over time. And yet, even the surgery that you had, the radical prostatectomy, which is now done much differently, I'm sure it wasn't done with the robot, right? It
no,
was probably
it
done
wasn't
open.
A robot at the time.
Yeah, so you probably had... Probably in the hospital for a while, and you know, a fairly long recovery period, which thankfully we have robotic surgery with the Da Vinci, and we have outstanding robotic surgeons at NYU Winthrop now, and you know, the hospital stay for the majority of patients, they're out in 24 hours. It's remarkable, Sandy.
Mm-hmm. I was there a bit longer. I was there for 3 days, and it was very uncomfortable, and then I had about a 2 week rehab period after that, before they started to gradually let me go back to my physical activities. What you've mentioned is just amazing. The fact that they can do an analysis off the PSA test, or one of the advanced tests, I believe one of your advanced tests now is the 4K test, and from the analysis, they can determine the level of aggressiveness.
Yes.
It's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yes, yeah, you're absolutely right that we have other screening modalities beyond just the PSA. We have the other biomarkers in the blood and in the urine. We have the urinary marker, a PCA3, which I use routinely, a 4K score that you mentioned, which is another blood test. And then over the last 5 years, you know, we talk a lot about this on the show, Sandy, we've been using the MRI, which has been very helpful in locating if you do have an area of concern, and then we can target and do what's called a fusion biopsy. How are you doing, Sandy? I mean, let me just go back. I mean, did they give you other options when you were diagnosed, or did they just say you just have surgery and that was it? And Did they talk to you about other options? Because there's so many other things that we have available now in 2018.
Okay. At the time, my options were external beam radiation, seeds, watchful waiting, or the radical.
Right.
None of this, the Da Vinci wasn't around. None of these other methods had been established. And
right.
My wife and I sat down and we discussed it. I'm married for 49 years to the same lovely woman.
Wow. And, God bless.
We talked about it and we decided that the radical was the best procedure for me to take. And we took into account the possibility of impotence and incontinence as part of the decision. And the bottom line was, if there were going to be some problems, we'd figure out a way to handle them, but we'd be alive. I'd be alive rather than not being here. And that was the important factor at the time.
7:14 in the morning on Katz's Corner, WABC Radio. We're talking with Sandy Kane this morning. And next Sunday, we have the Outstanding Long Island Cruising for a Cure event. If you want to give us a call, if you want to discuss your own story or have a question about PSA or screening, you can reach us live at 1-800-848-WABC. That number again is 1-800-848-9222. So, Sandy, the event is next Sunday. And tell us a little bit about the logistics if people want to. You don't have to sign up, right? You can just come out to the car show, right?
A number of different options. If you want to bring a car, we're still accepting pre-registrations off the website or through the mail. That's going to end on Wednesday. If you want to bring a car after that time, show up the day of the event. You pay a $30 entrance fee, park your car, either sit with the car and walk around. If you're coming in as a walk-in guest, the admission fee is $5 for adults. Kids come in free. We've got video arcade games for the kids. We have music. We've got an a cappella group with entertainment and a DJ. We've got food. We have quite a few number of vendors there and sponsors. And we've got a ton and a half of cars. And anybody that's probably, I guess, over 40 or so can look back and say, geez, I remember that 57 Chevy or the 55 T-Bird.
And you get great cars there. And the nice thing is people can walk around and you know, talk to the owners who are very passionate about their cars.
Yep.
And then you could also, you know, some of the guys want to go there and sell their car, right? That's the option as well, to even buy a car there.
That's another option. But the most important thing and the most important part of the whole day is we get men tested.
Yes.
We have men lined up all day long. You and the rest of the doctors go nuts a little bit trying to accommodate everybody.
Yeah.
But not only do we get the men tested, but we've got quite a few men who are of the people at the show who are volunteers who are survivors. In fact, we had a meeting yesterday, and there was one particular gentleman I was talking to. He was with his wife, and she smiled and said, "You know how we found out he was sick?" And I looked at him and he says, "I got tested." He said, "I got tested at the show, and I found out from the show." And our volunteers walk around all day long answering questions in a generic fashion. We won't give any kind of medical advice. And anybody that needs something a little bit more detailed, we send them over to your facility. And, you know, you and the other doctors have been very great about answering their questions and taking care of them and getting rid of some of their concerns. That's the whole thing. There's a basic fear still with prostate cancer and what can happen with it. And between the testing and what you and the other doctors do, I think we've allayed a lot of those fears. And more important, we've educated men that it's not the worst thing in the world if it's addressed and taken care of.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and, you know, I can't tell you the number of times in my own, you know, my own experience. Even this week, I saw a gentleman who had come in whose PSA had not been tested for the last few years. His PSA was 44, which, you know, is rather high. And, you know, unfortunately, if it does to go that high, it's not only a measurement that there is cancer there, but that it's unlikely to be just contained within the prostate. And it was we had to do a biopsy. It was a rather aggressive cancer. It was a Gleason 9 out of 10. So, and there was areas that had, you know, spread into the areas of the lymph nodes. And, you know, now we have newer medications, and certainly this man can be controlled and can survive for many years. But, you know, the cure rates of the disease tend to go down as the PSA goes much higher. But, you know, we do have, you know, outstanding newer medications, and through the research efforts and the dollars that you and your organization give, Sandy, we're able to come up with new cures and new methods for treating prostate cancer. But, and the other point that you mentioned about anxiety is so right on, you know, because, you know, we often talk about the PSA, which is the prostate specific antigen blood test, but I also often refer to it as patient stimulated anxiety test, because you're right, patients are very anxious, especially when we call them for the result. But, you know, it you need to step up. Like you said, you need to step up as a guy. And if you are, you know, the current recommendations are if you are 50 years and older, that you should have it once a year. I believe that if you are a certain gentleman who has a higher risk of prostate cancer, if you're African-American or have a family history, if you were down at World Trade Center, if you were in Vietnam exposed to Agent Orange, we see a lot of guys now, Sandy, that, you know, are Vietnam vets that are coming down with prostate cancer, which is a known risk factor if you were over there and exposed to Agent Orange. And a lot of guys that came out to the Long Island Cruising event have been diagnosed and treated at NYU Winthrop because of this.
Well, you find that's the target market that comes to the car show, too. It's the people and the men in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s. And as you mentioned, those are the guys that were in Vietnam, that were at 9/11 down at World Trade Center and everything. The most important thing that we stress over and over and over again is just go get tested. If you don't get tested, you're living in a fantasy world, in a never-never land. If you get tested, at least you're going to get some straight answers. And we keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it all day long. You know that. We scream at these people. We drag them over there.
I know. I do see that. Yeah. You guys are very passionate about it. Maybe you can tell everyone that's out there listening. So the car show will be next Sunday. And what time and what is the location, Sandy?
Okay. The location is very, very easy to get to.
Good.
It's the Old Country Road West exit off the Wantagh Parkway, whether you're coming north or south. As soon as you get off, there's a big building in front of you. It's 1400 Old Country Road in Westbury. If you want to exhibit a car, show up at 6:30, a quarter of 7 in the morning. As soon as we finish setting up, the gates will be open. If you want to come in as a visitor, the gates open for visitors at 9 o'clock. The show runs until 3 o'clock. We've got a 50-50 raffle that we'll pull probably about 2:30. And just lots of food, lots of fun, a ton and a half of cars. And the thing we're not supposed to talk about, but we do, so far we're looking, the man upstairs has been good. We're going to have good weather again. Ideal weather to have your blood drawn and go and look at another car.
Yeah. So 1400 Old Country Road in Westbury. So if you want to, if you have a navigation or a, well, I use one of these Waze apps now that helps me. Yep. No one asks for directions anymore because it's all in your phone.
Right?
I mean, when's the last time you stopped for directions or had a map in your hand? My gosh. Remember those days, Sandy, when you went to the mobile station and got a map? I used to like that. You know, it's fun, but those days are done.
That's right. We also will have signage on the parkway. We have signage up
on
the country road. We'll have volunteers out in the street directing. We got plenty of free parking for people who want to come in and visit with us. And we got a bunch of great people there.
And so if you want to register for your car, that's fine. But if you want to just come to the car show and get your blood tested, you don't have to sign up for that.
You can walk in as a visitor. That's all. And coincidentally, I was in your office on Friday, and I was talking to some of the women, and everybody's excited. Everybody's looking forward to it. And it's going to be another great day with a great bunch of people. What else?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do, now that you mentioned that, I do want to also thank not only yourself and your organization, but all the outstanding people and the doctors that you mentioned. Dr. Haas will be there, who's the chairman of radiation oncology, who's really pioneered the whole CyberKnife program at NYU Winthrop, and the staff that come out. And they are passionate about it. It's not just, oh, we're going to get your blood drawn, but they're really friendly and nice people. And if you do have questions, our staff will be all there to help you. as we do every day.
Yep.
All right, Sandy, let me go to the phones. If you want to stay on for a few minutes more, I'd love to have you, but we do have a few people that are now having some questions about testing. We'll go to Bill in Florham Park. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, doctor. It's a pleasure talking to you. My question is this. Back in July, I had a PSA value of 4.0 with a free PSA of 13.5%. Prior to that, my PSA values were hovering around 3, 3.1, 3.2, went as low as 2.6. I was recommended for a biopsy. I was kind of wondering what you thought about that.
Well, Bill, I mean, first of all, how old are you, and do you have any other risk factors of prostate cancer?
I'm 63. I'm presently taking Flomax. I took the PSA again in August, and it went down to 3.2.
Okay.
It remained, the free PSA value remained at 13%.
Yeah, so the free PSA, which is a form of the PSA test that can also be helpful in, you know, looking at whether or not someone has a higher risk of prostate cancer. The lower the free, the more likely there is to have prostate cancer. Not definite, not 100%. I don't typically rely on it all that much. And you're in an area where it's kind of a gray zone, Bill, where, you know, it's not a definite you need a biopsy. You don't have a family history. You're not African-American, I take it, or in Vietnam or any of those other risk factors, correct?
Correct. No, my father passed away from kidney cancer.
Who did?
My dad.
I see. Yeah, kidney cancer. Well, it's not a known risk factor of prostate cancer. So if you were to be evaluated with us, there are other markers that Sandy was mentioning, something called a 4K blood test, which could be helpful, or a urine marker called the PCA3, or, you know, you probably would want just to start out with a basic ultrasound. I don't know if your urologist is, if you have a urologist, but he probably should do a transrectal ultrasound just to see the size of your prostate, Bill, and see if, you know, we do see a lot of men that as you get older, the prostate can grow a little bit, PSA can bump up, can bump down, a little inflammation, and that may be all that it is. So I would probably start with that, with a, you know, good digital rectal examination as well, which we unfortunately won't be doing at the car show. But if you do have an elevated PSA, that would be the next test to have a proper physical examination, a digital rectal exam, and then some of these other tests, Bill, that can be helpful. And if there's concern, we would probably send you over nowadays for an MRI if we can get your insurance carrier to pay for that. You know, at Winthrop, at NYU Winthrop, we have these outstanding radiologists that can read the MRI very well and determine if there is something of concern there. So it's not like you need a definite biopsy at this point to jump to it, but it sounds like there's some PSA fluctuations and you probably need a little further evaluation, Bill.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do have a urologist, and he's
good.
He's pretty adamant about doing the biopsy at this point.
I see. Without doing any of the other testing?
Well, I mean, the digital comes up smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this. I've had a CAT scan in the last 2 weeks, and it didn't show anything other than it said mildly.
Well, a CAT scan really is not part of the workup here. I don't know why you would have that.
I had that for another reason.
That's not something that would be, you know, that would be recommended. All right, Bill. Well, you know, listen, if you always wanted a second opinion, we, you know, anyone at our staff at NYU Winthrop would love to see you and talk to you about it if there's a concern for you. Okay?
So much.
Sure thing. Sure. We hope to see you out to come out to the car show, Bill. Get another blood test there and come meet our staff next Sunday. Right, Sandy? You're still on the line with us, correct?
I'm here.
All right. Well, you know, Sandy, I mean, this is the type of a situation that we deal with all the time. You know, there's this, you know, little bit of a controversy, and it's not, you know, you and I have talked a lot about this, Sandy, and it's not just about the PSA itself, but what you do with it. It's not like everyone with a PSA that's slightly elevated needs a biopsy. And nowadays, not everyone that has a biopsy that has cancer needs treatment. So it really does require a thorough investigation. Any thoughts on that, Sandy?
Yeah, you know, I'm listening to this gentleman talk. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, none of these procedures or these evaluation methods were available when I got diagnosed. It's 15 years ago. And I'm not jealous. I mean, that's a stupid word to use, but I think that these men should appreciate the fact that there's so much more that can be done in terms of evaluation before somebody comes in and starts cutting you up. I think that's a very, very important factor that they should all consider. Don't be afraid. Go in, get the testing done, and get the advanced testing done, and then, God forbid, your numbers still come out bad. At that point, then consider the biopsy and then go from there. But let the doctors, the experts like yourself, go ahead and do what they have to do in terms of evaluation.
So if you're concerned and you have a question or you want to come out, you can get a free blood test next Sunday, 1400 Old Country Road in Westbury, Long Island, and experience a fantastic car show and get to meet all of us, including Sandy, myself, and the outstanding staff. We have a few more people on the line, Sandy. We'll go to the phones. John in Farmingville. Good morning, John. How are you? You have an interesting question, I see.
Yes, and I'm not, like, trying to make a joke. I'm really serious with wondering about this. Would someone who has gender reassignment surgery from male to female still need to have a prostate exam once they cross 50 years old?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, you bring up a very interesting issue that is something that, you know, members of societies like the American Urological Association and the American Medical Association are going to need to address, because this is something that is coming up a lot more, obviously, with gender reassignment. My own feeling, when you get a gender reassignment, so if you go from male to female, you still have your prostate in. Okay, you do not remove the prostate. Now, you are on female hormones, which can lower the PSA, and there are a number of drugs also that men are taking these days just for prostate enlargement, like Proscar, Finasteride, that can lower PSA. I do think that you do need to be checked. But you still have your prostate in. You know, it's not like that's going away, and I have not seen any information where, you know, if you're gender reassigned, your risk of prostate cancer goes down. Have you heard of anything, Sandy, about this?
Never. Never. That's the most unbelievably interesting question also. Never heard a word about it.
Yeah, it is. And it's something that we are going to need to address, because we are seeing it more and more. And I know that we have there's a doctor now that we're part of NYU. There's a doctor in the urology department that does many of these types of gender, procedures, changes each week. I mean, he's, in fact, you know, Sandy, it's amazing. He's booked for surgeries out till next year.
Wow.
And so, yes, this has really become very popular and needed. And it brings up a lot of interesting questions about screening for cancer in these individuals. So, John, I don't have the answer. My gut feeling is that, yes, you still need to be screened, John. But thank you for that.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, John. Sandy, I want to thank you for getting up here on an early Sunday morning, 1 week before Cruising for a Cure. It'll be next Sunday. We'll see you out there starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, 1400 Old Country Road. Come out and you get to meet the great Sandy Kane, Dr. Katz, and the NYU Winthrop team. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and tune in. We'll be here still next Sunday. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.
WABC, New York.